Great. How's everybody doing? Good. Good, good, good. As Zoe says, you're just making sure everything looks safe. Good. It's good that we cover each other's backs, isn't it? And not just backs. Okay, I'm covered. I'm fully covered. That's a good place to be. As Zoe says, last week, if you were here, we had a great morning. Looking back, we had some videos of some stories from 2019. We looked back at the year of transformation, felt that that was something that God was speaking to us. And if you were here, it was a great celebration of lots of great different stories. And we heard from lots of different people, which was fantastic, including Malawi. That was one of the things that was on our list. But this morning, as Zoe says, we want to look ahead to 2020. And just to give you a context for that, what we've grown a little habit, a bit of a tradition that the four of us as senior leaders, the last couple of years have gone away back in October to seek God, to pray, and to ask Him for what is in our future in the short term and the long term as well, but particularly the short term. And while we were away in October last year, we felt that God was saying to us that 2020 would be a year of deep and wide, or to put it another way, that 2020 would be a year of going deeper and reaching wider. Let's say that together, the year of going deeper and reaching wider. This morning, I'm just going to talk about that a little bit. It's true to say that if you've not been part of our Ashwood family the last few years, you won't know that our vision is to be a spiritually healthy, growing church for all ages, and our mission of helping people find and follow Jesus. Those two things are still the same. That's still our vision. That's still our mission. Probably feel more passionate about it than we ever have done, that we as church will be and become a spiritually healthy, growing church right across all the generations, which we are and we love, and that's what we want to be and become. But our mission very clearly to help people, again, across all generations, to find first and then to follow Jesus. They're the things that are our vision and our mission. But for this year, what does that mean and what does that look like? Well, we believe that we're going to do those two things and become those two things as we go deeper and as we reach wider. And I want to read something, a passage from the Bible this morning as part of it's a prophetic image. If you've got your Bibles with you and you want to follow along, it's in Ezekiel in the Old Testament, one of the prophets. And it's a passage where it's from Ezekiel chapter 47. And it's a prophetic picture that Ezekiel is bringing to God's people. And it was relevant for them many, many years ago. But it's a picture, it's an image, which is actually really helpful for us today in 2020 as well. So let me read this to you, starting at the first verse. I'm going to read, the words will be on the screen as well, so you can follow along. And actually, this is a bit of a prophetic picture. It's actually an image. So in some ways, although we can read the words together, what I'd love you to do is to imagine, as I read these words, the picture that this creates, the picture that this presents, because Ezekiel was talking in pictorial language, and for us to understand and benefit today, we kind of have to do the same. So as I read these words, then maybe follow along, or if your imagination is good, I will allow you to close your eyes. Obviously, we don't normally permit eye closing on Sunday morning, but if that helps you just to imagine this picture, I'd love you to see this picture with your imagination, okay? So let me read this to you. In my vision, said Ezekiel, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. So the picture, temple and water flowing from it. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet, and then he led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. He asked me, have you been watching, son of man? Then he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, this river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall. There will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food, and the leaves for healing. Amen. Or as we do in Malawi, Alleluia. Amen. Yes, exactly. It's a good reminder that, Sam. Thank you. So I look, there's lots of things I love about this this picture, this image that Ezekiel paints for us. Basically, we see this image, this picture of the temple, which would have been a physical temple, and then the water flowing out from it. And there's lots of things we could talk about in terms of the way that things flourish, and we'll mention that a little bit later. But this morning, as we think about going deeper, then I want us to use this image, this picture, to help us to think about what that means for us as individuals, but also as church in 2020. And this morning, as I talk, I want to be really practical, actually. I want us to, we've got this very, this image that we're going to think about for a few moments, but I want us to be really practical as well. And I'm actually, this morning, we've actually got a handout. How prepared is that? Well, there's a handout and there's people scattered across the room who've got a little pile of these. So just very quickly, if you've got a pile somewhere near you, just want to just pass them along the rows and back and forward. You'll probably know that when we talk on a Sunday morning, our aim and our goal is that what we're talking about is practical for us. It's important that we hear what God is saying, but then there is a personal application. We're always saying to ourselves, how can I respond? What can I do? And part of that answer this morning is we're going to look at four questions, thinking about going deeper and going wider. And if you have a pen in the bottom of your handbag, or along with your Bible or somewhere else, then maybe this morning you want to use this just to make some notes. Otherwise, you can take it home with you and think about some of these things. You know, at the start of the year, it's just a great opportunity, isn't it, to say, what are our priorities? What are the things that are important to us? We had a meeting this week, the four of us as a leadership team meeting, and we spent the first probably hour and a half talking about our personal priorities for 2020 in God. So that's one of the things that we want to do this morning. And the reason that this message is so important is actually because it's for everyone. It's for everybody. As we prayed and as we planned, there was this strong sense that this isn't just it wasn't just a theme. It wasn't just something that we were going to look at. It wasn't something that we would just have a few talks about on a Sunday morning. But actually, there was something in the heart of God that was calling us to go deeper. So even as Ezekiel talks in this passage and you hear the way that he's describing it, there's a sense that he's calling something forth. And we get a sense as well this morning as we talk about these things that actually it's not just a few people's good ideas. In fact, it's much more than that. It's actually a sense that God is calling to us, everybody individually. And the great thing about this, I love this, the thing that I love most about this passage is you see this progression. So we see this image of a temple, a physical temple, and then we see if you notice at the start, the river that is flowing from the temple is only a trickle. It's just very small. It's ankle deep, and then it's knee deep, and then it's waist deep, and then he says, and then it was so deep that the only thing you could do at that point is swim in it. And there's a sense this year that as God calls us deeper, that and there's a personal response from all of us, actually it's not a case about where we are, it's a sense that there is progression and there is movement and going forward. So the message this morning and in the coming weeks is not about, we're not saying to the people who feel like they have a great understanding of you, maybe you've had years of experience, maybe you would say that you're a mature follower of Jesus Christ, and this is about those people going deeper. What we're really saying is right across the whole of our church community, our church family, we believe that God is saying it's time for us to go deeper. Some of us in lots of different ways, and we'll talk about that in the days and weeks to come. But does that make sense? How many people would like to go deeper and so we reach wider? Great. So good. So what does it mean to go deeper and to reach wider? Well, there's four things you can see on the handout. And first of all, the first question to ask ourselves is, how can I go deeper in knowing God? And this is our starting point. Why is it the starting point? Well, the source of the river is God and knowing Him. There's another glimpse of this similar picture of the river. It's actually connected to the image of it in Ezekiel. It's the same river, different context. Actually, in the very last book of the Bible, in Revelation, and not just the last book, the last chapter. In Revelation chapter 22, then John sees a vision again, and he sees something, and he's looking beyond what he sees now. He's looking actually to the age to come. If you know, the book of Revelation is all about looking forward. And he says, then the angel showed me a river, same river, with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from where? The throne of God and of the Lamb. So there's this river, this picture of the river flowing from God's throne, God the Father, and the Lamb, who is Jesus, who will always be remembered as the Lamb of God, who became the sacrifice for us. And flowing from God the Father and Jesus in this description of this crystal clear living water is what? Well, different names, but the water for us signifies the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the glory of God. And it's flowing from where? From God the Father and from Jesus. So it makes sense for us, if we want to know God and know Jesus, then there will be that sense of flowing and movement from that place. Different context, but same understanding. The words of Jesus himself in John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus stood, it says, and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers," here it is again, "rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And then John makes it clear, he says, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit. So there's this sense that the living water that we're talking about is actually the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the glory of God. And so it makes sense, therefore, if we want to use this analogy of going deeper, that we're going to find ourselves going deeper, getting deeper in the things of God, the presence of God, the glory of God, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. So how can we know God? How can we go deeper in knowing God? Well, I think there's a number of different keys, but just very quickly, two very simple keys that I think will help us. And the first one is this: by developing a greater creativity and consistency in our daily praying, or you could say devotions, if that's a word that you would use. At the start of this year, I started reading a book, I haven't finished it yet, by Pete Gregg. Some of you will know Pete Gregg, founder of the 24/7 prayer movement. We've often used some of his resources in places before. He's a great speaker. And I've just started reading a book that he's written that's come out recently. It's on prayer. And he already says so many helpful things. But one of the things that I love is that he says about prayer right at the start, he says, keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. And sometimes I think we can overcomplicate things in terms of the way that we see things. We maybe set ourselves some targets which are ambitious, which is not a bad thing always to do, but sometimes we overstretch ourselves and we think the only thing I can do is I've got to recite half of the Bible in my prayers, or the only way I can do it is to recite the whole of the Book of Common Prayer if you have an Anglican background or you know of the Anglicans, and somehow we set this huge target, whereas actually there are things that we can do just to keep it simple. Keep it real before God. I could preach on all three of these things, but I won't. And then keep it up. Maybe you have established a routine that works wonderfully for you. Maybe there are things that you've put in place that are helpful for you, certain places where you know it's helpful for you. I know some of you in this room, there are certain places where you find it really easy to pray. For some of us, it's in our home. Some of it's elsewhere. Maybe there's a particular room or a particular chair or a particular space where you know that you can go, and it's just a helpful, healthy place to meet with God and to pray to Him. Certain habits, certain rhythms. But maybe it's time to do something different. Maybe there is an opportunity, as we talk about going deeper, to do something that is different, that will just refresh the way that we think and the way that we do things. Maybe there are some things that need to change. Maybe there are some sleep patterns. Some of us are morning people. Some of us are definitely not morning people. Some of us are evening and night owls. And actually, in order for us to meet with God and to communicate with Him, to hear Him speak and to allow Him to input into our lives, maybe the choice of when we do that is one of the key criteria. And maybe some people will have to, maybe some of us work differently depending on our family circumstances and work commitments, our priorities. But I would encourage us to think at the start of this year, what is the thing that is going to work best for me if I want to go deeper? For some of us, maybe starting a Bible reading plan, there's some great online resources. Maybe there's a book that someone has talked to you about and that you know is just going to be something that is helpful. Many of us listen to books now on something called Audible. It's great. You can listen to things on the go, and there'll be things that help us to go deeper in our understanding of who God is. That means that actually if we understand something more or understand someone more, of course you can know them so much better as well. Maybe for some of us, there is an opportunity to explore some ancient prayers. And of course, the Lord's Prayer is a great model for us to use too. And for some of us, we've already talked about Alpha this morning, but maybe part of going deeper for some of us in the room to find out more about God Himself, Alpha is one of those opportunities. And can I just say as well, not just in terms of developing greater creativity, but sometimes, and I love what Pete Gregg talks about in keeping it up, sometimes just turning up is one of the most important things. I've got a quote here from someone who says, "Changes that seem small and unimportant at first will compound into remarkable results if you're willing to stick with them for," he says, "years." But sometimes small things that we do that we keep up, that we're consistent, you know, actually that can sometimes be one of the most powerful keys. And there's something, isn't there, at the start of the year, there's a fresh sense of determination that we say, well, God, it's not all about from within me because I need your help to do this, but consistency, keeping it real and keeping it up can be so important. So if that's one key, developing a greater creativity and consistency in daily praying, maybe the second one, straight from the Bible, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, the advice of the Apostle Paul in many of his letters to churches. But also something about fasting too. We were talking together this week, the four of us, and we were saying how much we all love fasting. My tongue is firmly in my cheek as I say that to you, and some of you who don't know me well were not picked up the subtle nuances. But we talked about fasting. We said that actually there is something that is incredibly powerful as we deny ourselves, deny our bodies, Often it's food, different kinds of fasting, but we deny ourselves in order to create more room for God. You know, if you want to go deeper with anything, then allowing more time to be involved in that activity is not rocket science. It makes sense, doesn't it? And there's something, it's funny, I can remember many years ago, there was a book about talking about going from discipline to learning the joy of discipline. And disciplines are incredibly healthy, important things in our lives, aren't they? Most of us will look at having a healthy diet and a healthy fitness regime, and we know that when we don't do those things, we feel more unhealthy. And of course, it's the same spiritually as well. But the thing about spiritually is maybe the evidence of those, of the consequences of those things are not so noticeable because they are physical things. However, and it's not just spiritual things, is it? Our mental health is affected if we're not careful and we don't watch out for, if we don't watch out for our mental health as well as our physical health and our spiritual health. But we were saying to one another, well, maybe if we want to go deeper, that's one of the areas, that's one of the things that we need to look at. And I've been stirred, even at the start of the year, that this whole thing of pray in the Spirit on all occasions basically means pray often about everything, is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. And I found myself often driving in the car, often walking down the street, just finding myself, well, God, what do I need to be praying for now? What are the things that are on your heart for me to be praying right now? And of course, praying in the Spirit isn't just this the gift of praying in tongues, the language that the Holy Spirit gives us. We'll talk about that more in the future, but ask someone if it's not something that you're familiar with. For me, that's an incredibly important part of my own personal prayer life, is the gift of speaking in tongues. Because I know that it's the way I communicate for with my spirit through the Holy Spirit to God himself, which means that my sometimes often faltering brain doesn't get in the way. Incredibly powerful as well for seeing atmospheres change, things shift, even on a daily basis. Don't know about you, but sometimes I face struggles. Anybody else? And one of my go-to things is knowing the promises and the word of God, but also is speaking in tongues. It's just so powerful for breaking through situations and atmospheres, and often getting my perspective straight as well. So a couple of keys that can help us in going deeper. And maybe there's things that you can think of as well that you go, well, actually, what does it mean for me to be going deeper in knowing God this year? Number two, how can I go deeper in living in freedom? Well, it's kind of linked to number one, really, isn't it? The more we get to know God, the more we understand his character, the more we begin to see his power released into our life, then the freer we become. Jesus said himself, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It's one of the songs that we sing very often, and it's a great song because it reminds us of what Jesus said. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And then 2 Corinthians 3 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So in other words, where the Holy Spirit is, you'd expect there to be freedom. One of the names for the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Freedom. One of the wonderful things that happens as we go deeper in our understanding of God, he reveals the parts of our lives where he wants us to be free. Often as we are walking with him, speaking with him, in that relationship with him, that communion with him, he shows us where we need freedom. Those of you who've done the Freedom in Christ course will know, and Vic, one of his testimony and story on the video last week was how significant this course that helps us understand who we are in Christ means that actually if we are in Christ, we have all the freedom available to us because of what Jesus did in his death on the cross. And actually when we receive this freedom and we are aware of what it means, then we actually begin to see some of the benefits. Paul talks in Romans 14, he says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When we find ourselves going deeper in freedom, then we'd expect to see some of these benefits. Psalm 46 says, there is a river, same analogy, whose streams make glad the city of God. I don't know about you, but I want to see the picture where the river of God is so overwhelming, is so part of not just our lives as individuals, but our lives as church community, that the river affects everything that happens. And we see that the streams that make glad the city of God. It's not just an emotional response. It's actually a response from deep, something deep within us that says, this is what it's like. There is joy, there is peace, there is righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And in 2020, I guess I'm praying and believing for that there is a new sense of joy in this house of God as we experience those things together, as we go deeper individually, but then corporately, that we see a greater sense of the measure of the joy in the Spirit, the life in the Spirit that comes from Him, rivers of living water. And how can you go deeper in living in freedom this year? There's a question personal for us. Third question, how can I grow deeper in community? So if we're going to go deeper together, then that's going to be part of community. Relationships in the family of God, so important. Hopefully you know it, but just to underline it again this morning, God never intends for us to live life in isolation, to live life on our own. Actually, it's one of the enemy's, the devil's tactics, is to isolate us, to separate us from people, to make us feel like there is no one else around us, with us, for us. But of course, that is not true. And this image that Ezekiel presents is of a river that flows from the temple. In those days, in the Old Testament times, the temple was a literal physical building. But of course, in the New Testament, God is not found any longer in a physical temple. But he's found in a living spiritual temple, a spiritual house. And ladies and gentlemen, that is you, and it's me, and it's incredible. 1 Peter 2 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. So when you look at the people around you this morning, they're not builders, but they are. You are, we are. That sounds better. You are, I are, we are, whatever the correct English is for that phrase. We are living stones. We are the place where God chooses to inhabit these days. The Spirit of God, the presence of God, the glory of God is manifest or is released through us. What a plan. It's great news. And I can see you are with me 100%. So we are the dwelling place of God. That's who we are. It's an incredible privilege and honor for us to carry God's presence every day, everywhere. And of course, there's something significant when we're together as well, that God breathes his presence in us and through us. And I was actually reading this morning, this is a late edition, Galatians 6, Paul is speaking to the church in Galatia, and he says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourselves. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. And I saw this lovely picture of what it's like to be growing deeper in community, that actually if there are people who are finding themselves moving, this image that Paul is saying, talking about, is if people are finding themselves off the path, then gently, and of course gently is a key word, I don't know how you like to be handled, but gently is the way that I prefer to be treated, to bring them back onto path. If we're going to grow in community, then we need people around us who are going to help us bring us back onto path. How many people love to be corrected? How many people like to be told that you've done something wrong and you need to make some improvements? Maybe not all of us, but actually, the truth is, if you see the benefit and if you know that people have come from a place of loving you, then actually it's not quite so bad. I don't think that the culture that we're in has a particularly strong view of correction, and maybe it's an unhelpful piece of language, but if you see it as something that is positive and beneficial to you, then I think if we want to grow deeper in community, it's actually one of the important keys. And then he says, share each other's burdens in the same way, in this way, obey the law of Christ. How many people are glad that you don't have to carry your own burdens, but there's other people in the family of God who will share and carry your burdens with you? Anybody else pleased about that? I'm sure we could go around the room and find some incredible stories of times when burdens have been shared. And it makes an incredible difference. And then he says at the end of this, or towards the end of this chapter, he says, So let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. So let's not get tired of doing good. Anybody? Let's not get tired of doing good. Let's not give up. Let's look for opportunities to do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. So let's make sure that we're connected. We'll do everything that we can as church to make sure that there are healthy structures. What does that mean? Well, hopefully we have small groups, what we call life groups, where we can look after one another, we can help each other carry each other's burdens. We can, in those situations, maybe help keep people who've come off the path to come back on the path. But we'll be alongside each other. We'll be doing our best to make sure that we're doing good to those people every time there's an opportunity to do it. And it's so important, maybe at the start of this year, to remind us that we have people in our lives around us who are going to help us when we need support. And of course, we want to make sure that those structures are in place right across church. Our children, our young people, an important part of that, life groups. Even things like Touching Heaven, our Transform Worship Nights, our mini conferences, they're all places where we can grow together in community. And of course, we're not doing things on our own. There's an incredible power and incredible strength of the family of God together, rising up to be all that God intended. And even our Sunday celebrations, let's make sure that we give ourselves to those. You know, it's so important that we are on board, we are all in, we're on side, we're ready to worship, to celebrate, we pray ahead, we prepare, and we come ready to meet and grow in the community of God. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. And the great thing about this picture, this river, is it talks about wherever the river flows, life will flourish. Wherever the river flows, it says life abounds. And I absolutely love that. As we go deeper, not only will we go deeper, we'll also go wider. And Zoe's just going to come and talk to us for a few minutes about going wider.
Well, thanks, Matt. I just want to start by telling you a little story. About 5 months ago, a lot of us went to the One event, which is an event on Lincoln Showground where we can gather with our wider church family from ground level. And 5 months ago, I sat in the big top at the start of the One event. I think it was the very first meeting. Normally, first meeting, a bit tired. You've got there, you've put your tent up, you've welcomed everyone. Everyone's running around. It was boiling as well, wasn't it? It was brilliant, boiling. But kind of got there and was like, oh, right, here we are. And right in that meeting, I felt God start to talk to me about vision for 2020 in Ashwood. And I believe in that meeting that God was talking to me and to us about growth and about adding to our number as a church, about bringing God's kingdom through people getting saved, right. And us growing. And I actually have to say it was one of the times when I felt and heard most audibly God's voice. And I believe that God was saying in that time that in 2020, sometimes we talk about 2020 being double vision, but that God wants to double us as a church. He wants to double us. That at the end of 2020, we're going to see enough people having come to faith to double our number. And that's big, isn't it? That's really challenging. And I sat in that tent going, really, God? Really? But like I say, it was so clear that I felt God saying that to me. And as the weekend went on at one event, I kind of prayed into this a little bit more, because it really is a faith goal. And for some of us, and probably for me in that tent, it seemed quite impossible. But as I pressed into it and prayed about it over that weekend and prayed since about it, I've seen my faith really rise for this. I believe that it can happen, that as we kind of go wider in 2020, then we can see ourselves double, and that's going to bring some challenges. I mean, look, we're quite full this morning even. We need a new building, don't we? That's one of the challenges. But actually, like Matt referred to in that Ezekiel passage, one of the key things of that deep water was that it meant then the banks around were fruitful. That as the water flowed out, the clean water flowed out, the salty water became fresh, and then the fruit could grow. And if we're going to go deeper, then I believe that it's going to be easier for us to go wider. And as I've prayed about this, felt God speaking about two key things that's going to help us as we look to double in 2020. And one is, first of all, is that we need to be all in on this. That if we're going to see it, every single one of us has got to take responsibility for it, be a part of it. We have to make a decision corporately that we're all in, but all in individually that we're all in. We're going to pour all our energies in it. We're going to be all aboard with this vision, a commitment to go wide. And then the second thing, so that's the first key, that we're all in. And then the second key is prayer. And Matt's already talked about prayer being important this year, but as we pray, that'll unlock the vision being released to double, to be fruitful. And the wide and the deep go hand in hand. If it's not one, then the other, it's both together. And Dave's going to unpack that a little bit more next week. And next week I'll talk a little bit about the prayer aspect of kind of this double vision and what that might look like. Let's look this morning about this being all in, and what does that look like? And as I prayed, even on that day and over that weekend, really felt God say that double looks big. But if we look at it in terms of everyone bringing someone, then that becomes realistic. Every single one of us, if we all brought one person to faith this year, then we would double. It only takes every single one of us connecting with one person, investing in a deeper relationship with that one person, inviting that one person, sharing our faith with that one person, together with prayer, because we know that we do our part and God does his part. But if we all could commit to bringing one person to faith this year, then we will have doubled. And to me, that really changed my perspective in terms of something impossible that looked impossible starting to look possible. Although that's a little bit daunting personally, one person, I can see that. I can go, yeah, maybe I could do that. We don't need to do any big things that are going to attract people. And in some ways it's more uncomfortable, but all we have to do, each one of us, and I'm talking to every single one of us, I'm not just talking to the person sitting next to you, I'm talking to you this morning, but we can all bring someone, we can all be on board, we can all connect intentionally with one friend, one family member, one colleague, one neighbour, one person who comes to the food bank, and one person who we meet at Cafe 22. We can all connect with one person. That's realistic, hopefully, for us, to bring one person to faith. And some of us might have relationships that we've already massively invested in. We've prayed for this person. We've spent a lot of time with them. They know about our faith. Some of us will already be in that place. And it's just that next little step of bringing them in. And that's partly why we create deliberately things like Alpha. So to give another little plug for Alpha, maybe you've already invested loads in a relationship and this is the key. The Alpha is the key right now, that you can invite them, you can come with them, you can pray for them through that process. It is an absolutely amazing opportunity. So maybe you're one person, it's going to be now. They're going to come to Alpha, they're going to hear something, we're going to pray for them, And that is why in our life groups, you might have read it in our nursery sheet last week, that during this season, while Alpha's on, we're going to kind of pull in our life groups a little bit. We're still going to meet, but we're going to meet a little bit less often to give us some space to go deeper. It might mean you've got a bit more time in your week to come to Touch in Heaven when that's on, but also to go wider. It creates some space so that we can come with our friend to Alpha, because then that's our priority in our week. So we as a church and as a leadership, we think it's really important to facilitate these things. And that's why we've made that decision about life groups, part of the reason, because we want to invest in deep and wide in this season. So just think about, is there someone you can be bringing to Alpha as part of this, your one person? Are you up for that? Can we as a church decide together that we're all in to develop a relationship? It might be more than one, but to make the most of opportunities to connect with that one person, and together then we can bring God's kingdom and we can see Ashwood double. And for me, that's what it's about. It's about God's kingdom. It's not about numbers. Kind of, I believe God has said double, but it's, for me, it's not about the numbers. It's about God's kingdom. It's about adding to our number daily, those who are being saved. It's about a kingdom mandate for that. And the kind of second thing I think that it looks like, it's everyone bringing someone, but all in, I think, is also about getting uncomfortable. And for a lot of us, talking about our faith is out of our comfort zone. With our non-Christian friends and family, I'm putting myself in there as well. It is out of my comfort zone to start to talk about my faith. And for some of us, even spending time with non-Christians is out of our comfort zone. We spend all of our time with the people in this room. And Matt's talked about the importance of this family, of going deep with our family here. But sometimes we get so much into that that we then become uncomfortable even to spend time with people outside of these four walls. And I think for some of us, the discomfort is going to just come with starting to spend some time with talking about our faith. But God's heart and our heart, it's in our mission, isn't it? Helping people find and follow Jesus. Our heart is to share God's love with others, to bring them into this incredible family so that they can experience what we experience. It's not exclusive. And we need to, I think in this season, we're going to have to push our personal comfort zones a little bit. And you know what? It's going to push our corporate comfort zones a little bit, because sometimes if we've got new people in our family that might look different to us and might have different life experiences, that's uncomfortable. Any of you who've got married know that you kind of enter this new family and sometimes that's uncomfortable. It causes different, you've got both got different experiences, that family's got different experiences, and coming together can sometimes cause some tension, can't it, and some discomfort. And that might happen as we add to our number. We might become uncomfortable as a group. For some of us, our connection points are our friendship group or our family. But for others, it might be someone from Food Bank, from Cafe 22, from Seesaw, kids from Friday Night Takeaway. We're seeing kids already kind of saying they want to be part of our family. Having some of them come to faith might mean shaking things up. It might mean mixing with people we wouldn't normally. It's going to push our comfort zone as we change our structures in order to welcome new people, opening up our friendship groups, our life groups, our youth and children's work to welcome new people. We're going to have to change our physical space. It's going to mean multiplying our life groups, which is change for all of us. Change is uncomfortable, isn't it? But if we're going to grow, we need to all be in, all be committed. Everyone bring someone, but also be committed to being uncomfortable. But it's also exciting, isn't it? Who's up for it? I know I've been praying into this for months now, so I'm really excited. But I really believe this year we can double. If we all bring one, we're willing to get uncomfortable and we press in prayer. And we'll talk a little bit about that next week. So double vision for 2020.